We're on 1,000 planets and spreading out.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
To the Batmobile.
May the force be with you.
Who is that masked man?
Avengers, assemble.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Fantastic Forum. I'm Ulysses E. Campbell. As always, we'll begin the show with some genre-related news. SpaceX's Starship vehicle is fully stacked at the company's Starbase facility in South Texas, ahead of a planned orbital test flight attempt. SpaceX is working towards a launch rehearsal next week and, pending regulatory approval, Starship's first integrated flight test a week later. SpaceX had apparently been eyeing a liftoff as early as Monday, April 10th, but on Friday, April 7th, the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, set a provisional launch window for the rocket of April 17th between 7 and 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, although the FAA has not yet issued a launch license for the Starship flight. The stacked vehicle, consisting of a Starship upper stage atop a Super Heavy booster, stands 394 feet tall and will be the most powerful rocket ever launched. Earlier this week, NASA and the Canadian Space Agency, CSA, announced crew assignments for the four astronauts who will venture around the moon on Artemis II. Three are American: Commander Reed Wiseman, Pilot Victor Glover, Mission Specialist Christina Hammock-Cock, and one Canadian, Mission Specialist Jeremy Hansen. The team includes Cock as the first woman and Glover as the first person of color who will eventually go on to step foot on the lunar surface. Glover was selected by NASA as an astronaut in 2013. He most recently served as a pilot and second-in-command on the Crew-1 SpaceX Crew Dragon in 2020. He will be the pilot of the spacecraft. Cock was selected as an astronaut in 2013 and currently holds the record for the longest single spaceflight by a woman at 328 days. Wiseman was selected as an astronaut in 2009 and served as a flight engineer aboard the International Space Station. He's a decorated naval aviator and recently served as chief of the astronaut office. Hansen had been a fighter pilot before joining the CSA. This will be his first mission in space, and he will also be the first Canadian to travel to the moon. Artemis II is scheduled to send the four astronauts into space in 2024 for a lunar flyby before returning to Earth. The Old Georgetown Board unanimously voted on Thursday to deny Newton Howard's request to keep two Transformer sculptures outside his historic row house. The decision potentially ends a contentious conflict over the metallic pop culture icons that have enthralled visitors and irritated some neighbors. 2 years ago, Howard placed the custom-built sculptures of Optimus Prime and Bumblebee, each standing between 6 and 10 feet tall and made of repurposed car parts, outside his $4 million row house on Prospect Street Northwest, a block from Georgetown University. Howard insisted that the sculptures were art and argued that they were placed on either side of his front door where planters were once located. In April 2021, Howard requested permission from the Old Georgetown Board to keep the sculptures outside his home, but members said they were incompatible with the historic character of the Georgetown neighborhood. But Howard never removed the sculptures, and he moved Optimus Prime to his roof and placed an even larger Optimus Prime sculpture at the front door. The D.C. Office of Planning found the sculptures to be, and I quote, a lively addition to the streetscape, unquote, and further said that they did not impede passage on the sidewalk or pose any other risk. D.C. government officials encouraged Howard to anchor the sculptures to the facade of his house and to apply for a public space permit, which requires consideration from the old Georgetown board. Howard has vowed to fight on. In an email to WAMU, he wrote, and I quote, "I will defend those sculptures from being taken down by anyone. Children love them. They even leave flowers for them sometimes. I cannot let negative thinking and outdated thoughts prevail over progressive impact for love and inclusion." Boy, bless you, Newton Howard. You are one of a kind. This is a heck of a thing. Some anniversaries this week as Dave Stevens' Rocketeer character debuted 41 years ago in Star Slayer No. 2 on April 1, 1982. Stanley Kubrick's Academy Award-winning sci-fi classic 2001 A Space Odyssey made its theatrical debut 55 years ago on April 2, 1968. Flash Gordon, Episode 1, The Planet of Peril, debuted 87 years ago on April 6, 1936. And King Kong opened in theaters 90 years ago on April 7, 1933. Some new trailers dropped this week for Marvel Studios' Secret Invasion, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and DC Films' Blue Beetle. You can view the trailers on one of the FF social media pages. And while you're there, if you haven't already, follow us on Instagram and Twitter and like us on Facebook. We like to be followed and we love to be liked. Secret Invasion streams June 21st on Disney+. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse opens in theaters on June 2nd. And Blue Beetle makes its theatrical debut on August 18th. And Star Wars Celebration Europe is this weekend in London. There's been a lot of news coming out of the event about upcoming projects, including new trailers for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny and Star Wars Ahsoka, which dropped yesterday. And there's been information about different cast members and Star Wars The Acolyte, as well as three new Star Wars movies to be directed by Dave Filoni, James Mangold, and Sharmeen Obaid-Chinoy. And we're saddened to learn of the passing of Rachel Pollack. The award-winning fantasy novelist was known for her run on DC Comics' Doom Patrol. She was 77. Today, we're talking about some of these news items and more. Joining me are Shireen Nicole, Julian Lytle, and courtesy of the Great Geek Refuge, Mike Lunsford. Everybody, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you all for being here. A lot of stuff coming out of this Star Wars Celebration Europe. I mean, I'm kind of beside myself, particularly after I saw the Ahsoka trailer that dropped yesterday. I was like, oh man. And Julian, I see you got a Star Wars hat.
Did you finish Rebels yet?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so you're up to date.
I am up to date, so yes.
You know why that show looks so fire, you know?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, and plenty of Rebels characters.
I know.
In Ahsoka. I'm looking up there and I'm like, that's Sabine Wren. Oh my God. Oh, it's like, that's Hera. It's like, yeah. Oh my God. That's Ezra. It's, oh my God. And then they just announced the casting Lars Mikkelsen as Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Yeah, but you fake it on the real lead. You saw my man Chopper up there yelling at people in space. The angry bleeps.
You did see the back of Thrawn, by the way.
Yes, but that was before they had told you who he was.
I'm fine with that. I don't need to know these people's names. I just need to know the characters in it.
It's the same voice, though, right?
I don't know.
Isn't that the acting?
You know,
voice
I don't. You know, I don't be watching the live action Star Wars shows. Okay. I don't be knowing.
Yeah, same guy.
Thank you, Mike.
No problem.
Yes, well, I know that you sent me the trailer, Julian, and I sent it to Soma, and she said, I already sent it to you on Facebook.
The Book of Faces.
The Book of Faces. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though, y'all, because I had been hyped after having seen that Blue Beetle trailer earlier in the week. And then this other stuff at the end of the week, it's like, what, Blue Beetle? What? Oh, yes, I guess they did have that, didn't they?
Oh, I ain't forgetting that. Come on, man. George Lopez out here in the Beetle base cooking. George Lopez, my man.
The line of Batman is a fascist was just outstanding.
That was hilarious.
That was funny. That was funny.
Hilarious.
Incorrect. Yeah. But funny.
Yes. Yeah. Well, but the other thing about that, because, and I had to go back and look at that trailer a second and third time, because, you know, you actually saw the Ted Kord Blue Beetle costume.
Did you?
And the, yes.
And the Dan Garrett.
Both of them.
The whole straight up Beetle, the little Beetle bases, for real. It's like, had the little plans all over the place. I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. This is missing Ted Kord, huh?
Missing.
Yeah, well, and I actually learned some stuff about, because that Dan Garrett character, well, you know, of course, the Blue Beetle. For those of you who don't know, the Blue Beetle originated, he's a Golden Age character. But they, once Charlton acquired the character, they retconned him. And I hadn't known about any of that. I mean, you know, they made him, I mean, they basically added the stuff that you've come to know behind the Scarab, and you know it's been very interesting.
Yeah, because Dan Garrett had all them. He had some powers at a certain point when they had to, you know, hook him up. Say, I forgot what his word was though. It was the same one they give to Jaime eventually. But yeah, he gets some little powers. He'd be a little bit bulletproof. He'd be a little bit strong. But Ted Kord couldn't use that Scarab, but he got it though.
Yes. Well, and you know, okay, so it was. Kaija Da.
Yeah, you know? He was a police.
But that's the same name that they gave the Scarab, that's, you know, which was how they tied the thing together.
Well, yeah, now it's like it's an activation word. Basically, it's a Hessian hero. For those who don't know what that is, it's a Japanese-style superhero where they say a word and then they transform, which you might know as a Power Ranger or a Kamen Rider or an Ultraman.
They had a beautiful scene at the end of that trailer where he goes full Japanese inspired.
He flips a sword around. It was looked all right.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yes. It was some good, for me, some good anime action. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good mecha vibes. Well, it's not a mecha. It's a regular suit, but.
It's a super suit.
Yeah.
Super suit. It looked good, though.
I have to wait. I don't know how I feel about anything, but that has nothing to do with the content and everything to do with me. I just don't know how I feel.
Had Susan Sarandon was in that, right? Yeah. I think she won the Kord Sisters.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure I saw Susan Sarandon.
They got Susan Sarandon in this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw some sneak clips of the Acolyte trailer that were leaked.
Oh.
You know, they had some of that stuff on YouTube, but it was somebody shot it sitting there, and so I was like, I want to wait until I can
Well, I saw it by accidentals, but I was like, well, I'm here, so let's see what you're doing. But one thing that was interesting was that some fans had suggested some Booster Gold casting, and they suggested Chris Pratt. And I think
we're far off from Booster Gold getting casted.
Yeah, but that's an interesting choice. I would never think Chris Pratt for Booster.
Mm-hmm. He's affable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, but without the Ted Kord Blue Beetle, you know, yeah. I mean, unless they're going to do some kind of, either retcon something or it's a, you know, something that happened before. I mean, now that we see that the Ted Kord Blue Beetle was running around at some point.
Well, I guess at the point of it is we got to see if this movie does well enough. It connects well enough so that it actually carries over, because right now it don't matter.
I think it's
what's in
be
that
fun.
Movie, because it might not end up in it. It might
because
not be the
because we haven't seen the new universe yet. Well, we haven't seen the Saffron
Gunverse.
That's true. But the funny thing is, and this was part of the reason why I wasn't, you know, and I would have been really hyped to talk about the Blue Beetle trailer, but for the fact that Roberto isn't here. And so I'm like, well, you know, and honestly, part of it is I like the idea because he's from Puerto Rico and, you know, he's got a real affinity for this character. And I'm like, well, wait a minute now. You know, it's like, we need to, you know, have somebody who's legit got feelings about this above and beyond. I mean, not that we don't have feelings about it.
Two very different cultures, though.
Mexican and Puerto Rican.
Yeah, those are two very.
Oh, he's Mexican?
Jaime Reyes.
I thought he was Texas. Puerto Rican.
Nah, he in Texas.
Oh,
his uncle is Spider-Man. George Lopez.
Well, yeah, but. Okay.
Now, I get you, but you know what I'm saying? That's Miles. Miles is the Puerto Rican.
Miles is Puerto Rican.
Yes.
And Miles' mama said, and Miles' mama found out he was
snapping in Spanish. Snapping in Puerto Rico.
A B in Spanish? Oh, my gosh.
I know,
right? Your mama
going
to kill you, sir.
That was hilarious.
That was good stuff.
That was hilarious. Yeah,
but can I just interject that I feel like blue and gold is inevitable at some point? I just don't know how many years it will take. So back to the Spider-Verse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hold that thought 1 second. You're listening to Fantastic Forum on WERA 96.7 FM in Arlington, Virginia, and streaming via WERA.FM. We are your community radio station. I'm Ulysses E. Campbell. I'm joined today by Julian Lytle, Shireen Nicole, and Mike Lunsford. And Mike, we haven't heard much from you. Before Shireen get, and part of it is I know because you're anytime you're not physically here, you're like connected. It's tough, you know, because we can't see you trying to get a word in. So
it's not even that, man. I just enjoy hearing Shireen and Julian like get excited about stuff, because I'm excited about this too. So if we were all in the same room, I would be laughing and smiling. Like, I just wouldn't have much to say, because honestly, I'm just as excited as they are. Like, it's the byproduct of having people that are like-minded and like the same things that you do. Sometimes I don't have something to say, but trust me, once we get into the Star Wars stuff, I have
I know you do. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, and it's funny you say that, but I'll pivot back to that, because Shireen, I'm sorry, you were getting ready to say something and I completely interrupted you.
I was just saying that, you know, Puerto Rican mama will kill you. And I feel like Miles' life is in danger, and that's why he had to cross the Spider-Verse, because that being Spanish is dangerous. That's it.
I just like that she had more than the one word.
Yeah, it's nice to see her. Like, that scene that they gave us early on between the two of them, where they're talking, I think, on the rooftop. It's a really beautiful scene, because we got more of his relationship with his father in the first film.
She got no lines in the first film.
In this one, we're singing what his bond with his mother is, and I like that.
It's okay, because, see, I played the PlayStation game with all moms, so I'm good. She was running for office.
Oh, no kidding.
You know what I'm saying? That's, you know, that's my preferred Miles is PlayStation Miles. You know, he wear Adidas. He don't.
They look like the one that looks like Kelvin Harrison Jr.
Whatever, the one that got the fresh fade Caesar and the waves.
Yeah,
the waves is like an ocean. You can see it in 4K.
He got them Norman
that's
Osborne
the way your
wave's
supposed to be laying. That's the way your wave's supposed to be laying.
You
know?
Ship,
that's
Norman
why they call
Osborne
them waves.
with the black tinkerer.
Got those Josephine Baker waves.
That's why they call them waves.
If you don't get seasick, they ain't right.
I'm only looking for this movie to see if my preferred Spider-Man, PlayStation Spider-Man, have at least one line. You know what I'm saying? At least I get to say something. But it's okay, because I get a whole game this fall. So they ain't got to say nothing.
Well, they did such a good job of taking that Spider-Man meme where all three of the Spider-Men are pointing at each other and turning it into something in the movie that is the best version of that meme that I've seen by far.
It's so like much fun.
That was hilarious.
And I credit to our to Oscar Isaac. Like, he, for him to play the heavy in this, I'm so excited about this movie. Like, I slept on the first one. Like, I didn't see it until it came out like on like streaming service. And I immediately regretted it. So, like, I am going to be in theaters to see the next one. Like, my son loved it. We're definitely going to go see that together.
Yeah, it was good stuff. It was good stuff. But I tell you what, Oscar Isaac, as much as I enjoy seeing him play a good guy, he plays a real good bad guy.
Wait, we better not be actually sitting here accepting the Spider-Man 2099, a.k.a. Miguel O'Hara, is a bad guy. Because if that is, that movie is automatically trashed. I will destroy that movie. I will hate that movie to no end. I remember when that cover came out with the foil and it was glistening on the newsstand. I ain't had to go to no comic book store for no comic books. I was in Safeway. I was looking out looking lovely.
You could spin it.
Nah, it was no spinner because Safeway ain't got no. They had the whole rack. It was full.
Oh, I had spinners in my grocery store. You know what I'm saying? Oh,
wow. You had the whole Marvel line up there. You ain't got a. What's a spinner rack only got what, like what, 12? Maybe 18?
I don't enjoy you disrespecting the spinner rack.
That's a 7-Eleven spinner rack. You know what I'm saying? That's what you got no space.
I got comic books when I was a kid. I used to ride my bike up to the Giant that was up the street and pick them up off the spinner rack.
See,
how I got my first X Factor.
See, mine upgraded. Right, they put it in the aisle with the rest of the magazines. It was magazines and it was comic books. You know what I'm saying?
I remember that too.
You get to see them out there.
But Mike said the heavy. He didn't say the villain.
I know, but Ulysses was going into like my man being a bad guy. He does play okay bad guy.
He's better heavy though, because like when he was playing
Moon Knight?
Duke Atreides, huh?
Oh, that's what you said when he was playing the useful Moon Knight.
Oh,
you know he has so many personalities.
We should not get into Moon Knight. That is not a good place for us right now.
Well, I understand the reference, but you know, I should have said the antagonist. You know, because I mean, I said the villain, just but because Mike had said the heavy,
yeah,
and I mean, sometimes
like whether it's the right or wrong decision, you know, from the perspective of the of who's watching the story, he's still making a decision that needs to be made one way or the other, and like it's got to drive the plot. So like for him to have to be the, you know, the quote unquote bad guy is in like I got to make a hard decision. Like again, it's. I think it's going to be great because you get to see that, like, there's one Spider-Man that's kind of not against all of them, but, like, one that understands the ramifications of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, because they're all Spider-Man, yeah. So they're
Spider
all good guys.
People.
Yeah, well, yes.
Spider-folk.
Yeah.
Spider-folk better, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, but that, I mean, so they're all good guys. Or
Spider
good,
aspects. Yeah. No, go ahead,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Well, no, you know, but yeah. So, again, purely from the perspective of the storytelling, you got your protagonist, your antagonist. You know, your yes. Yeah,
I know the spot better be a lot more important than what I'm seeing. He better not just be some goofy Jason Schwartzman mess. He better actually threaten the multiverse.
I'm sure, but you know what I notice is you've got pregnant Spider-Woman, right? So I'm wondering how hard they're going to dip into motherhood and those kinds of bonds.
Yeah, because the mom is clearly going to be more of a focus from Miles.
Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering how they're going to play with that.
I just really hope they don't do Spider-Man, because that... Whew,
I love the Spider-Man.
Man, it just makes me cringe.
Web
just
them like, illusions.
Just a man made out of a whole bunch of spiders. Just feel like I've had nightmares
That's a comic book classic. You look at Horde. That's a thing that we do. In comics.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Spider-Man. Sure. The Spider-Man was a great idea that Kruger and Alex Ross came up with.
You know, my first... Oh, sorry, Mike.
No, you're good. I was going to say, it makes me think of my first exposure to a character like that was when I was a kid, and the Tick was on Fox, and I watched that, and he was fighting some villain, and he goes to punch the villain, and it was just a whole bunch of cockroaches, and he freaked him out.
And let me tell you where that came from. Spoon, by the way, but let me tell you where that came from. Well, I don't know if it was where it came from, but an earlier version of that was the Sensational She-Hulk number 18 by John Byrne.
That wasn't Swarm, was it?
I think it was.
That's a Spider-Man character because it came from the cartoon first, I believe.
And that was
a bunch of bees.
Not Swarm. It was a big old. It was a pile of cockroaches.
Oh,
it was a pile of sentient cockroaches in a cloak.
Mm.
And that was in that. That's my first She-Hulk comic.
Oh, really?
That my mother bought for me. Because I was like, that's a big green colored lady. I need her. My mother was like, you do need this. So she bought
it. What did you say, 18?
Sensational She-Hulk number 18, John Byrne.
Yeah, I think that was 80. I think that was post-Swarm.
Mm.
That might have been. That might have been. But that was the cockroach one. It was legitimately.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what's my boy's name who does the Savage? Eric Larson, Savage Dragon, he did a character like that as well. I think the character's name was Horde or something like that, but I could be wrong.
Man, you're giving me flashbacks now. I remember that. Because when Savage Dragon came out, I really fell in love with that series.
Mm-hmm.
And now I remember. Whew, man. Okay.
Yeah, I was a huge Savage Dragon. I guess I just like green,
giant green people.
I do like giant green people. It's true.
Kind of cool. What's not to like? Too, man? That fin on top of his head? Yeah.
Fin is great.
What's not to like? Well, and Eric Larson with that Savage Dragon, I want to say, I'm pretty sure he broke the record for longest consecutive number of issues done by you know,
a writer, artist.
Exactly.
Yeah. That one team, the letterer too, Chris something. They were all together that almost that whole time. Yeah.
Well, and the record had been with Lee and Kirby with the Fantastic Four.
No, because they're a team. So Bendis and Bagley broke out.
They're oh, really?
Ultimate Spider-Man.
But oh, really?
Remember, he's only is only him. So he had to beat Cerebus.
Oh, okay. Mm, okay.
Dan Sims?
Dave Sims.
Dave Sims, okay.
Dave Sims. Yeah.
I knew there was some record that was broken.
Yeah. That's two different records. But yeah, Bendis and Bagley beat it with Ultimate Spider-Man. Mm-hmm.
And cheers to the apricot brandy, especially if you're drinking it out of someone's navel.
Well, you know, but to do over 100 issues, because that's where you people, that's where you have to be to beat some of these records. It's got to be over 100 issues.
Nah, that was 200.
That Savage would be
Dragon
more than
200. Yeah,
yes.
Like, he had to get over 2-something.
Wow.
He was,
oh, yeah, Cerebus.
Because Cerebus was going. He was doing
it. That was a long run. That's a long run.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he stopped talking about stuff he shouldn't talk about, he would have had an even longer one.
Well, it's a whole line of them, so he ain't not alone.
Well, I gather some of it is simply the time. Good gracious.
I don't know. You could change. A lot of people change.
Yeah. Well, okay. And, okay. So I'm having a bit of a quandary here because there were some things that I had been thinking that we'd talk about, but then this Star Wars Celebration thing just blew it all out of the water, and I'm kind of want to pivot back. But
Mike is going to kill you if you don't.
Yeah, well, you know, but we can throw some of this stuff in, you know, because actually one of these things I think is kind of interesting because, wait, she's not wrong, wait.
Your life is at risk.
No, there was a report.
Timing is what I was going for there.
Ah, okay. Well, there was a report that I read earlier this week where apparently Marvel Studios has set a new limit for its MCU releases in any particular year. And, you know, I thought that was highly relevant, not only because of the relatively poor showing of Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, but on the heels of that, the also poor showing of Shazam 2, Fury of the Gods. And it's led to these new questions about superhero movie fatigue and whether or not that is actually even a thing.
You know and, what? Can yes. I say something?
Yes, of course.
Just make a good movie. like you can't question whether people have superhero movie fatigue if you haven't made a good movie. And those two are not good movies. I remember coming out, I don't know if it was when we came out or a conversation later, but I definitely remember talking to Julian about the fact that Quantumania was so unnecessary. And I said to Julian, they need to rethink their scheduling. And they need to slow it down and make sure that they're only coming out with bangers. So I was not surprised that they made this decision. I know Julian had other reasons, but yeah.
I just think that some people are just forgetting the fact is that they're not making enough money. And Bob Iger's back. Mm-hmm. He was like, yo, y'all going a little bit heavy in certain things. And how are you supposed to fit in these three new Star Wars movies if you got all these Marvel movies in there? You got to pull back. You got to make some space. We about to get Zootopia 2 and Yay. Toy Story 5.
Boo.
You got to make some space.
I love Toy Story, but they could kind of chill on that. Yeah.
There ain't been no bad Toy Story yet.
There hasn't been any bad
ones. I thought 4 was surprisingly good because I figured after 3 there wasn't anything to do. And 4 like hit me in the gut. I was like, wow.
Yeah, it gave you some place to go.
Yeah, they do a great job. But
what are we? I'm just...
I don't know.
I'm all for it because, like Julian said, they have not done a bad one. But like, where else can you go with that?
I don't know. Well, Bob said you gotta make another though.
Yeah. Yes.
He is very good. He's very good at his job.
He indeed is. But see, which leads me to what I was, and I'm gonna say this now before we take the break because that way we can just come back and go to Star Wars. But James Gunn did an interview with Rolling Stone recently where he was real honest about this superhero movie fatigue thing. He said he thinks it's real, but he said that it's not related to the existence of superhero projects, but the kind of stories that are being told. I mean, more what you were saying, Shireen. And you know, and I thought that was serious, you know. So yes, so superhero movie fatigue is real, but not the way you might think it is, which is a thing. Anyway, so look, that musical cue means, as I said, we're getting ready to take a break. Because, of course, Fantastic Forum comes to you via WERA 96.7 FM in Arlington, Virginia. We're a community radio station. We rely on the ongoing generosity of our underwriters, sponsors, and listeners like you to be able to continue operating the radio station. Visit the website at WERA.FM or that of our parent organization, Arlington Independent Media, at arlingtonmedia.org. Find out how you can make your tax-deductible gift in support of community radio, community media, today. But, like I said, we're going to pause momentarily to promote some of the other fine offerings on this wonderful station. But Mike and Shireen and Julie and I will be right back after this. Got a lot more to talk about. There's still stuff coming out from Star Wars Celebration because, heck, it's about 10 o'clock over in London right now. So I gather they're done for the day. But we're going to be talking about it. So don't you go anywhere, because we'll be right back with more Fantastic Forum right after this. And welcome back to the Fantastic Forum here on WERA 96.7 FM and streaming online at WERA.FM. Radio Arlington. I'm Ulysses E. Campbell. I'm joined today by Julian Lytle, Shireen Nicole, and Mike Lunsford. And when we took the break, I had actually just been finishing a thought, and I know I was trying to like conclude this thought before we came back for the second half of the show, but I do want to read this entire James Gunn quote, because I think he summarizes the whole idea of superhero fatigue quite well. So he says, "I think there is such a thing as superhero fatigue. I think it doesn't have anything to do with superheroes. It has to do with the kind of stories that get told, and if you lose your eye on the ball, which is character. We love Superman. We love Batman. We love Iron Man. Because they're these incredible characters that we have in our hearts. And if it becomes just a bunch of nonsense on screen, it gets really boring. But I get fatigued by most spectacle films, by the grind of not having an emotionally grounded story. It doesn't have anything to do with whether they're superhero movies or not. If you don't have a story at the base of it, just watching things bash each other, no matter how clever those bashing moments are, no matter how clever the designs and the VFX are, it just gets fatiguing, and I think that's very, very real." So, yes.
The real fancy way of just saying they need to make better movies. That being said, in about a month, we know Guardians of the Galaxy 3 going to make a gang of money.
Yes.
And people going to enjoy themselves.
Yeah. Yes.
We've got to see what the Flash going to do.
And I think the Flash is probably going to do well.
As excited as Gunn and Saffron are about The Flash, it must be.
The whole company is.
Really, but I don't care about the rest of them. They've let me down. But Gunn and Saffron have really, really, their excitement is what makes me think it's going to be a good film. You know, DC has been excited about stuff before Warner Brothers, but Gunn, I do trust his storytelling.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons I was excited when I found out that he was writing and directing that Superman movie that's going to reintroduce Superman. So I think that bodes well for the Mighty Man of Steel. But
Star Wars.
There you go.
Star Wars.
Can I talk about the superhero fatigue thing?
Oh, yes.
For a while, I thought it was just another buzzword that people were saying, and like it wasn't a real thing for a while, where it was just like, because how many times did we see big name directors or actors or producers be like, "Oh, they're not real movies. It's not cinema." Like Scorsese's the first one I think of. Like, and it got old. It got real old just hearing them complain about it all the time. But I think there is some merit to that, but not just the superhero movie. I think that that got blamed for it because that hit right around the same time that streaming services really, really took off as well. And I think that the streaming services is really more what's changing the film industry, because Matt Damon made a really good point about this, where he was talking about how you used to be able to make an independent movie, and you used to be able to do things that weren't these big budget things, and you would make a ton of money off of DVD sales or Blu-ray sales. That doesn't happen anymore. And I think that those two things happened right around the same time, this massive push for superhero movies, right around the same time that everything changed there. And that is what is, I wouldn't say diluting the film industry, because we saw some really unique titles win some big awards this year. So it's kind of a funny thing. I think the fatigue is exactly what we're saying, though. Like, you need quality. It's not quantity, but that's the thing. It's a business. It is the film industry. And when they were like, well, kids want superheroes, so let's give them every single superhero thing that we have, we're getting quantity, not quality. It's a buffet instead of like a five-star Michelin-style star restaurant.
Well, and for some time, because, I mean, I think I've mentioned before that this whole notion of superhero fatigue, and I really like what Gunn had to say. I like what Shireen had to say about that. But it isn't like we haven't seen any of this before, because apparently 44 years ago, when Superman the movie came out, it started this thing, and all of a sudden there were a bunch of superhero movies. I mean, in fact, the very forgettable Steel, which is one of these things, and people have, so much so they've forgotten about that, but that was a real movie that came out with starring Shaquille O'Neal, of all people. And, but then you had, it was all kind of, Blank Man, Meteor Man. Now, those both happened to be decent films. But my point is, there was just, superhero after superhero movie. I mean, to the point where they made, there was that superhero movie, the parody of the stuff.
Yeah, but
that was a
parody mostly about focusing on, I guess, what you would call the first wave, which is 98 to 2008.
That's, yes.
Mm-hmm. So the tropes of a superhero, which basically was like, we're going to tell the origin a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Dragonfly, as I recall.
It's, all those things may be true, but also I didn't need to watch this. It's 40 chapters. It's like 40 movies and TV shows. And yeah, they all connect together. So those things aren't applicable to what the fatigue is right now, because everybody That's wants true. To make a universe. And you know what? I've been hearing filmmakers and actors talk about this since like 2008. So I don't know. It does affect film. And Mike, only one quirky film won a bunch of awards last year. It was just one movie that won all the awards. It wasn't like a bunch of different movies won a bunch of awards. It was one. And they felt like, let's give this one weird movie all the awards at the cost of everybody else. So it is what it is. Scorsese was right. It's affecting the game. And then soon, theaters is going to cost $45 to see a movie, because that's the only reason people are going to go see the movie theaters. And cinema will die.
Well, if you're getting more than one ticket, it's going to cost you like $45 anyway.
No, I'm saying one ticket, period. It'll be like Broadway.
I hear you.
It will die. Well, just like theater is basically dead. It's only for rich people.
Well, I am not going to do. I'm not. Yeah, I'm going to say I'm not going to debate the merits.
Oh, no, not today. Different
show, because we got to get to that Star Wars thing now. Okay, so one thing that I want to say, though, and this is kind of leading it, is I've been talking to some old school friends of mine lately, and because for whatever reason, and full disclosure, I know a lot of old white guys, grew up with them. So, I have seen a number of these old white guys on social media, and they've been complaining, and always want to talk about, well, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and why is it like this? And I've resisted the urge to be like, well, why do I care what you like or what you don't like? It's like, if it ain't for you, don't watch it, but don't say that Star Wars is no good. Don't tell me that you haven't been able to get into Andor because it was too dark. I mean, it because of all the things, don't tell me you couldn't get into Andor, okay? Andor. Because that was, it really was, you know? I mean, and if you liked Rogue One, there's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't like Andor, you know, basically. Anyway,
it's structured but almost exactly the same.
That's what I'm saying. But, you know, as a guide in terms of, you know, what you're able to do now, you know, and the animated stuff is informing a lot of stuff, you know, because shoot, on The Mandalorian a couple of weeks ago, and I'm saying, oh, there's Zeb, look at this, you know, which I'm tripping over. I'm like, this is great, you know? I mean, to say nothing of, you know, the appearance of all those characters that I name dropped in Ahsoka coming up. So, but I get it, if it's not, you know, but here's the problem, because, all right, so Star Wars, which I will always refer to what is now called Episode 4, A New Hope, Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, you know, and then there's all these other movies. And, you know, quite frankly, the way that Lucas approached making these things, I don't know that there's any degree of reverence that I have. I mean, I just saw, in fact, one of the news items that came out of Star Wars Celebration, they're re-releasing in time for the 40th anniversary, Return of the Jedi. That's going to be back in theaters like later this month. But I mean, I was, when I saw that in theaters back in 1983, I was like, for real? This is it? This is how you end in this trilogy? I was extremely disappointed.
Ewoks.
That's so funny.
Listen, my brother loved those Ewoks with his whole soul. So I will never have a problem with that.
You know, it was less the Ewoks and more you're building another Death Star, really?
I mean, that they didn't know, like, what to do. Well, I mean, they had the second movie was so gosh darn good. They didn't know where to go.
The second one was okay. It just didn't end well. Yeah, just okay.
Empire?
It didn't end well.
The
Liddy
one?
It
didn't.
Yeah, what are you know, talking about?
At the end of that movie, I'm like, yay, they escaped. Wait, yay, they escaped?
Yeah. You that lose. Was,
it did, but it didn't. It didn't have a real ending.
Yeah, it did, because they know it's gonna make a third movie.
To. Well, but that's the pressy Star Wars, and this is why I say that the first one, what is now called Episode 4, New Hope, that's the best one of all of them.
No,
that
it's
was
not,
a standalone movie.
It's not supposed to be.
It was
adventure serials.
You are talking nonsense right now. First of all, and I can't deal with all that New Hope Chapter 4 nonsense.
Star Wars trilogy,
second trilogy, third trilogy. That's the only way I can keep it straight in my brain, personally. That's just me.
They call it OG, prequel, and then sequel. That's funny how they call it sequel trilogy. But come on, man.
That's a great...
Lando!
Lawrence Kasdan deserves your respect, sir.
Lando, though...
Irving Kershner as well.
As well.
Lando, though.
His face off.
It was very entertaining.
I am your father, though.
It was very entertaining. Again, where I got stuck was when I realized, yay, they escaped. Wait, what? You know? I mean, and then at the end, it's here we are. We'll meet you at the rendezvous on Tatooine. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, because I tell you what, I could have sat there and watched that movie right then. It's like, why are you doing this to me? Why are you going to, like, oh, okay, here's Han and Carbonite, and Luke done got his hand cut off, and you find out that Darth Vader is his dad. I could have sat there and watched another 2.5 hours right there, you know, instead of you waiting like, oh, you going to make me wait like another 3 years to see this thing.
Back then, you know that. But here's the thing. Can I ask y'all a question? Because we don't have a lot of time, and Yuli's going to kick me off the booth, but I got to ask this question. How do y'all feel about Mangold going back and telling the origins of the Jedi? How y'all feel about that?
Oh, yeah, because we're those three movies. Yeah,
yes.
You know, and what were they? Like, it's basically Old Republic, but they got a title
for it. Nah, it's like the birth
it's
of...
It's the birth of...
They got logos now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mike, I know you copied them logos. I know you had to have them, because I was like, oh, they got logos for every age now. Yeah. They ain't had that before.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so new logo. That's what Mangold is
taking
doing.
Taking screenshots while I'm at work, man. Yeah.
I was like, what? I was like, Bertha just got a logo already?
But do we need the Dawn of the Jedi? Do y'all want
that? Was that the title of it?
No, I'm saying this is what it's about.
I
think it's Birth of the Jedi.
Birth of the
like
Jedi
that.
is that age.
Like, do we need that?
Yeah.
Do y'all want it?
I remember they said it's the height of the Jedi Order.
That's not
not his movie. His movie is literally like the Dawn of the Jedi. He's called it's like the Ten Commandments of like the Force. I'm like, the Ten. See, that's where you pique my interest. People don't be respecting. Hold up, wait. Did the Ten Commandments come on tonight?
It probably does.
I thought it was tomorrow.
They usually do it on a Saturday. They don't usually do it on Sunday.
They did it on the Sunday. It don't matter. Mike.
But yeah, it's
Mike,
the.
Mike,
oh,
Mike.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
But yeah, it's Dawn of the Jedi, the Old Republic, the High Republic, the Fall of the Jedi.
High Republic.
The Fall of the Jedi is the prequels.
Yeah.
The was it the Reign of the Empire is like the stuff in between the prequels and the original trilogy. Age of the Rebellion is the original trilogy. The New Republic is the Mandalorian TV stuff. Mm-hmm. The Rise of the First Order we ain't really seen, but they got comic books and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the New Jedi Order is the future Rey trilogy. That's the
director from Ms. Marvel who is taking that one on, and it's Rey 15 years forward. Where
I had to pull the image up.
She builds a New Jedi Order, which I'm like,
Charmaine obeyed Chinoy.
Which I'm like, do I want that or do I want?
Hold that thought one second. You're listening to Fantastic Forum on WERA 96.7 FM in Arlington, Virginia, and streaming online at WERA.FM. Radio Arlington. I'm Ulysses E. Campbell. Oh, wait a minute. We are Arlington. I know it's one of those. Anyway, I'm Ulysses E. Campbell. I'm joined today by Mike Lunsford, Julian Lytle, and Shireen Nicole, who I interrupted, who was making a point.
Oh, I was just saying, I get it with Rey, but yet, what I probably would have wanted instead was Finn creating a Force-sensitive order, because I want to see the contrast between what that could be, what they were hinting at, and the actual Jedi, because the Jedi have a cultural problem. They got some issues, because their lack of fear is making them an order of noble fools, and we see that again and again and again and again. And so I want to see some kind of contrast with a Force-sensitive order. That's just me.
You really think Boyega want to come back?
No, he's not coming back. I'm talking about Finn. I can't do nothing about John Boyega.
There ain't no Finn. I get you. I understand, but
you know I subscribe to soap operas. The disrespect.
Or if they recast the disrespect, see that's different than Black Panther, because they sold that daggone movie. They sold that movie on that man's face. They sold that movie that he didn't get to do.
And they did nothing with him after the first one. Yeah, no, it was a
that was a problem. But Boyega, Julian, and I have said before, should really be cast as multiverse T'Challa. But that's another show.
No, I thought he's just be regular T'Challa, just like, oh yeah, oh I'm T'Challa right now.
I think you got to step out of multiverse, just like we need a new Flash to step out of Speed Force. But
so they've been messing with the concept. So oddly enough, because this is how much of a Star Wars nerd I am, if you watch the Lego Star Wars specials that they have on Disney Plus, the Lego Star Wars Christmas special features Rey and her Jedi trainee Finn. Like, he's Force sensitive. They haven't really come out and said it.
They have in the movies, though. That last one.
But they didn't say it. They didn't say it. They just kind of alluded to it.
They told me, when I'm watching movies, they tell me stuff.
New people don't follow movies like that no more.
And all of the folks that he talked to, it looked to me like they were leaning towards an order of Force sensitives, and I want that story. You know, I want it. They might not give it to me. And then, of course, you know, Dave Filoni is doing his thug thizzle. Filoni and Favreau are an unstoppable force of Star Wars goodness, in my estimation.
They've been highly effective.
Yes, they have.
And they have the pedigree, so anybody who has, like, anything bad to say about them, you can't. Because they're like, I worked for George Lucas, is Filoni, and Favreau's like, hey, you ever seen Iron Man? Yeah, you're welcome. And like, people just kind of back off, and it's kind of awesome. I'm here for it. And like, same. Like, I'm to answer your question from before, Shireen, yes, I'm excited about seeing more Jedi stories, because I love Jedi stuff. I always have. I always will. I don't think you can take away the mysticism. This is the one thing I'm worried about, is like, you're gonna like take away the mystery that is them. But like, I think seeing these characters and seeing what they stand for, you know, they stand for hope. They stand for these good traits that you need in a galaxy far, far away. I think that's going to be a cool thing. And getting to see people that are not named Skywalker or not named Kenobi and not named Palpatine is going to be a good thing.
I think so, too. And I think that we may see some kind of contrasting of where our order went wrong, you know, versus where they started, or what the, you know, what the original kind of goals of the Jedi were. So there's a lot that Mangold could do. He's a really strong writer.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah. But I see what you're saying.
It's one of those things where it's like, when they're like, hey, there's more Star Wars, I don't care what it is. The answer is yes, please, more. Like, I'm very rarely going to be like, eh, I'm not into this. Like, the only thing that I, in recent years, that I haven't been excited for, and I gave it a shot, I just didn't really enjoy it, was The Bad Batch. Like, I'm not into that. Like, I'm not enjoying that as much as I thought I would. But everything else so far has been good.
Boba Fett let me down. And maybe it's I was spending time rewriting it, and then it just turned into a Mandalorian episodes 1 and 2 of season 3.
I kept waiting for it to be Space Godfather. Because, like, yeah. I thought when he came in there, when he came to Tatooine, and he was like, you know, I'm trying to be this crime lord, and like, he was getting his butt kicked on a regular basis. I was like, oh, we're coming, there's going to be a reckoning here, and it's going to be him and like his crew, and they're just going to just take everybody out. And then it never happened. And it was like, instead it was like, I want to ride a Rancor. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Cool, I guess. I mean, whatever, man. Like, yeah, it never went where I thought it was going, which, I mean, I guess is fine, but.
No, I agree with you. Yeah. It should have been a crime drama. It should have been this first Star Wars crime drama. You know, and I think, what's the guy's name from Andor? I always forget his name.
But the creator?
Diego Luna?
No, the creator.
Tony Gilroy.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Gilroy was a lot bolder with his vision of Andor, and I think Boba Fett needed a bolder vision, and they just kind of let it lay there and flop around until they needed the Mandalorian to save it. I guess
Robert Rodriguez
didn't
want to make nothing that deep. You know?
Yeah, but then you had to have the Mandalorian save it. You needed Grogu sauce on it to make it work at the end, and that tells me that it wasn't a solid series.
It was it's a filler arc.
And you know how I feel about that. You don't need it. You're not.
I mean, are they going
to? Nah, but it was, they had to take time off.
Are they
going to
give any more? I haven't been paying attention. Are they going to give another season two?
I don't know.
Are we going to see any more?
I literally thought the only reason they made that because they needed time off because Pedro had to go make The Last of Us, and that was a 200-day shoot. So they needed a filler arc. You know,
still make something good. And hey, they still had to be saved by the armorer and the Mandalorian and Grogu in the end.
When Krillic had to fight Garlic Jr. when he was on vacation,
you can't blame, you know what I'm saying?
Like, it was all right, you know, just because that's what they biting from.
But they can't, because they didn't have the same problem with source material.
They had a time. That's a time thing.
I agree with Mike. Boba Fett was easy to get right had they leaned into the crime drama aspect of it, and they just failed at it.
I get it. That just doesn't seem like something that Rob Rodriguez would make.
Well, then don't do it. Then stay home, chill, put your feet up.
Oh, they gave him a shot, and y'all ain't like it.
I love Robert Rodriguez, but
he's done lots of good stuff. Yeah. Like, this was not like
I'm just saying. Like, it's probably just something. Clearly, he didn't hit a knock. He didn't knock it out of the park. It's over now.
It's over now.
You know, he can. I don't know.
He's gonna make me start singing.
I thought they were doing another one. Another season of it.
I don't know.
Hope not.
Well, you know, because of the way
I did love Ming-Na though. Great.
Well, because of the way it ended, because they had Timothy Oliphant, you know, as
I figured he was going to be one of the new, like the new Republic Rangers or whatever that show was called. Like, I figured he was going to be.
Yeah.
It was going to be Space Justified, or as I called him, Ray Gun Givens.
Yes. Ray Gun Givens.
That's crazy.
I like that though. But yeah. Well, but that's the reason. But hey, if they're going to put him in a different show, that's fine. But the other thing, and Camille's always talking about this, how they used the other bounty hunter, Bane.
Oh, Cad Bane.
Cad Bane. Yeah. Exactly. You know, I mean, because it didn't make any sense, because he had some history with what's his face, with Boba Fett.
Yeah.
I mean, and then they didn't even pay any attention to that or use that, which made absolutely no sense.
They did such a kind of tacked on,
Yeah, but they did such a good job, giving you that character to just do nothing. It was like the way that they designed that character live action was beautiful.
Mm. Oh, Cad Bane?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well,
the actor, everything, the whole thing.
Dude, and the voice, man. Woo! The voice gets me every time. Yeah.
Well, the way that they've adapted stuff from the cartoons has all been extremely artful, you know, is all I can say. So, you know, I've been extremely impressed with all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean.
I'm busting with Star Wars, so give me like 2 seconds.
Ahsoka says, I think you're going to get the last word here.
Ahsoka says in her trailer, she calls Thrawn the heir to the Empire, and I just about lost my mind, because if they're referencing the Timothy Zahn books, which they are, because that's where Thrawn's from, then we might get to see some really cool stuff. And one thing that I've always wanted to see is Luke Skywalker doing more cool Luke Skywalker stuff, like we saw at the end of season 2 of Mando. Like, if we get to see him do some of the stuff that he did in those Timothy Zahn books, man, this is going to be dope.
Well, it would seem that they need to draw from the original Thrawn source material if they're going to make that character work, you know? And what's the point in bringing him out if you're not going to let Thrawn be Thrawn, so to speak?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because what I haven't read any of the Zahn books, but what I know of him from Star Wars Rebels, I was extremely impressed with, and I'm assuming it was a faithful characterization.
Yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's like some extra characters missing from those that were like part of Thrawn's thing that he was doing, but like they nailed him. Like, they had his personality. Like, do you ever read a book when you were a kid and like picture what the character's voice sounds like, and then it comes on the big screen and you're like, oh my god, that's exactly what I pictured it like. It was like that.
Well, I guess Timothy Zahn did a really great job of describing the character. Anyway, look, you know, like I said, you got the last word there with that, Mike, because sadly, we're out of time for this episode. But I'd like to thank my panelists and you, too, for tuning in. Of course, Fantastic Forum is also a television show. You can visit the website at fantasticforum.tv. We've got complete episodes of the show. We've also got various segments broken out for your convenience. You can also tune in on Sunday afternoons here on WERA. Check us out from 4 to 5. The show is also available, thanks to Mike Lunsford and our friends at the Great Geek Refuge, as a podcast. You can download it, take it with you, play it and enjoy it from all those platforms where you find your favorite podcasts. And the show airs in first run each and every Saturday afternoon right here on WERA from 4 to 5 p.m. We hope you come back and join us again if you liked any of this stuff, because it's all crazy, wonderful geek stuff, and we're very excited to be able to share it with you. So enjoy the rest of your weekend, people. Let's keep tuned to the news coming out of London and Star Wars Celebration, because it's all really fun stuff, and I'm just waiting with bated breath to see how they end all this up for tomorrow. Anyway, like I said, come back again. Same bat time, same bat station.